about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Sure, there is one thing I could talk to you about, but it's super dumb.
I would like to talk to you about one super dumb thing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I miss the old Kanye, straight from the gold Kanye. Chop up the soul Kanye, set on his goals Kanye. I hate the new Kanye, the bad mood Kanye, the always rude Kanye, spazzing the news Kanye. And I love you like Kanye loves Kanye.
I know what'll cheer you up. We listen to Funny Morning Zoo on radio.
You're listening to Backwards KFMB. I am the penis, here with Buttocks. Hello, Buttocks. Ah, human.
A wedding party in Southfield turned ugly today when a bunch of ugly people showed up.
And now...
It's Milana Bunch, but...
Take it from the top.
Try again. It's Milana. How are you?
Our feature presentation.
I mean, that happened.
How adorable is she, by the way?
She's the best, yeah.
Genuinely nice person.
Agreed.
Just adorable.
She's adorable.
Real
Are you mocking me
no.
for saying she's adorable? She's
no.
No, we're agreed. Adorable.
No, we just agreed. Literally said it 5 times, and I agree 100%. She okay. might be one of the loveliest humans on the planet. Not only adorable, does so much good for the world.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
She's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 31st of July.
Adorable.
Adorable, right?
Can a grown man pull off the word adorable?
No. I've been trying to tell you that for 10 years.
But in Milana Weintraub's case, mm-hmm. it's the most accurate word in the English language to describe her.
Look, you asked the question. Mm-hmm. Can a grown man pull off adorable? And the answer is no.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe try, she's so squee. Try that.
We're shortening it to adorbs.
Adorbs.
Yes.
That's better.
Now we're talking.
I feel like you can pull that off.
That's in my wheelhouse. We try hard here on the Kevin and Bean Show to bring you lots of features that involve interesting stories in the news. We do Bean Theft Corner. We do What's Up with Florida. People are dumb. Mm-hmm. 911 is a joke. Because there's a lot of crazy news happening in the world.
Right.
And I think it may be time to try to debut a new feature here.
Oh, wow.
So
early.
I don't know if this is going to stick. I don't know if this is going to be this could be one that lasts forever. But I think I'd like to kick off the primary, the first edition of it, if you don't mind. So get the reverb ready here, Kevin.
Okay.
I got a little bit of a theme song here. Ladies and gentlemen, all right, I'm gonna set it up. I'll say it's time for, and then you bring up the reverb, okay?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our new feature here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for Pianos in the News.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I said Pianos in the News. Again, I don't know if it's an all-timer.
Yeah,
I'm just going to rule right now and say no.
Wow, so soon?
Well, I mean
this is the first episode. Yeah. You just watched the first episode of a new series before you decided you hate
it.
But
it's what's it called?
It's called Pianos in the News.
Right, okay. So that tells you a lot.
I mean, let's hear him out.
Okay.
Okay, you're not optimistic, but okay, let's see. two stories came across my desk here this week about pianos, about... Pianos in the News.
All right.
Here's a family. He is an English heart disease researcher. He and his wife and his two children are moving from England to New Zealand. Now, New Zealand is one of the many countries in the world, and I don't disagree with the policy. They're a member of the UN Convention on International Trade for Endangered Species, which means they don't let you import ivory. Okay?
Right.
Because they're trying to stop people from going to Africa and killing the elephants and then selling the ivory. So a lot of countries say you can't bring ivory in. Well, he was moving along with his other household items, a 19th century antique upright piano, a 123-year-old upright piano. Hmm. When it arrived on the other end in New Zealand, they ripped all of the piano keys out of his piano.
What?
Because they were made of ivory. Because piano keys for centuries were made of ivory. That's just what they used.
Wow.
And they're like, wait a minute. I didn't go out and kill an elephant and I'm trying to get a tusk in to sell it for, you know, for somebody's boner pills.
Did you say it
was an antique piano?
Did you say it was 123 years old?
Yes.
Oh, they destroyed that.
Wow. And they destroyed it. they're, believe me, they are suing. First of all, they have to fit expensive synthetic tops to the keys to get the piano to even work again. And they are also suing the government so that they will hopefully pay for, you know, pay for the damage to their piano.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine how furious you would be if you have this antique piano in your house? It's a family heirloom, by the way. You know, it's been in his family forever. Can you imagine if you show up on the other end and you go to sit down with your piano and all the keys are missing? Nobody wants that.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us, we're doing our new feature called...
Oh, man.
That was on me. That was my... All right. I apologize. Our new feature called Pianos in the News. Mm. Okay, so here's the other story, and I think you guys are going to love this one.
Oh, God, there's more.
No, there's two. There's two stories. I think you guys are going to love this one.
All right.
This is a family in suburban Detroit, the Varchetti family. They ordered a pizza from Hungry Howie's, which I'm not familiar with. Perhaps it's a Midwest chain. Hungry Howie's. The pizza guy shows up at their house. As he hands them their pizza, he peeks inside their living room and says, "That is a beautiful piano."
That's a weird thing to say.
Right?
It is.
Hey, well,
do you
just
mind
give
if
me
I
my
take
pizza.
A look at it? Yes. The pizza guy says, "Beautiful piano. Do you mind if I take a look at it?" Now, where are you guys with that request if you're the guy getting the pizza at the door?
Hey, thanks for the pizza. Go away.
Right.
Who's looking in my house and then asking me to come in and look at it?
Right? That's a good-looking wife. Mind if I take a look at her? Beat it, kid.
So you beat it, kid. So you think maybe
this is our new feature.
Like beat it, kid. I love that name. We've got to come up with a segment for that.
All right. Make a note.
So you think that this is maybe like a home invasion robbery getting ready to happen or something like that? Like, why is this pizza delivery guy wanting to get in my house, right?
I don't like it.
At worst, but even at best, if he's interested in your piano, I don't care. Go away.
Beat it, kid.
Right? His name is Bryce Dudal. He is 18 years old. He had just graduated from high school. So he sits down at the piano and says, "Do you mind if I try it out?"
Get out, kid.
Kid. So he's just living in the house now with the Varchetti.
What is happening?
So the pizza guy, 18, sits down and starts playing the piano.
You're going to tell me this is the pizza guy.
This is the pizza guy.
For reals?
This is the pizza guy playing the third movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. You should see the video of the guy in his little pizza outfit sitting there at the piano just wailing. Who saw this coming?
Anyone that's taken piano lessons and has a part-time job.
I mean, that's more than piano lessons.
Yeah, this is
that's pretty...
Yeah, this is a kid who taught himself to play the piano when he was around 6 years old, by the way. Then he just fell in love with the instrument. One of the first things he learned to play, by the way, was the theme song to the cartoon Scooby-Doo. He couldn't read music, obviously, as a tiny little kid, so he used to play everything by ear. In fact, he taught himself to play this movement of the Beethoven Moonlight Sonata by ear. Couldn't read music. Taught himself to read it.
That's impressive.
His mother bought him Beethoven CDs. He just kept playing and playing and taking lessons and lessons. He gave up the piano about a year ago to concentrate on baseball. He's trying to get a baseball scholarship to college now that he's out of high school. But he still enjoys sitting down and playing piano from time to time. Nobody saw this coming, you guys.
Beat it, kid.
Beat it. Our new feature. Beat it, kid. And this has been Pianos. Oh, big finisher.
Still want the echo?
In the news.
Okay. All right. I think Beat It Kid is going to last longer than Pianos in the News, but we'll see. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
As happy as this news makes us, Albert, we can't put this on the radio.
A brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the program today. Movie lines that you use in real life. We all seem to quote certain movies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that today. We have.
I don't think you could have a conversation with Chip if she had never seen Step Brothers.
Agreed.
True.
Yeah. Jeff Ross, comedian in studio.
I love him so much.
Talking about the Bruce Willis roast and his roast battle as well. We've got tickets for the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool singles party. We're going to do that twice today. And Demetrius Johnson from the UFC, Mighty Mouse himself, will be here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Free trip to Las Vegas this weekend with the Kevin and Bean Show for the Built This Pool Singles Party. Tickets on the way this morning. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening this bright and early Tuesday?
Well, I think you know.
That sounded threatening.
Oh.
Do you know, Bean?
I do not.
Okay.
This is going to be a hashtag me too, is it?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
It's National Avocado Day.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah.
Super exciting.
Beat it, kid.
Let me know if you have any issues with this.
Okay.
Or if I'm just being a dick.
Okay.
So in
can it be both?
It can.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
In celebration of the holiday, Chipotle announced it will be giving away free guacamole with the purchase of an entree. For one day only, guac is not extra. So it's not free guacamole. It's if you buy an entree, it's just not extra. Is it free?
I mean, it is, because ordinarily it would cost you like 50 cents or whatever the add-on is for guac, right? I mean,
right.
It's not a tremendous value.
So I'm saying Chipotle. It's National Avocado Day.
Step it up a bit. All right.
Give free guac and chips to anyone walking in off the street, like me, 15 times.
Because restaurants.
I love their guac and chips is what I'm saying.
My concern is emergency rooms may not have enough staff on hand tonight for, you know.
Avocado hand.
You know, National Avocado Day, look out.
Yeah, it's a real thing, Kevin.
White people are going to be slicing and dicing their hands all day long today.
Yeah, it is, I would say, majority of white people. And my favorite thing is when we talked about it and how it's happening all across the world.
Right.
Not just here. What was it, New Zealand? Like, a big chunk of their population.
Oh, it was insane. When we did that story, Kevin, I think you were out. The stat from New Zealand, tiny little country, there had been over 300 emergency room visits for avocado hand this year.
There are 314 people that live there.
What is wrong with them?
It's insane. But I love that every single one of our listeners was like, that's white people. We know how to cut avocados. Or guacamole.
You know. You see that? You see how white people do?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to maybe change your mind here. Dave, our producer, the King of Mexico. Dave, can you hear me, son?
Yeah.
How much is guacamole as an extra, as an add-on at Chipotle?
It's usually about $1.50 to $2.
How about now, Allie? Now you're saving some real money.
Oh, I'm saying that's ridiculous.
Okay.
Is it? It's that much?
I'm stunned that
for
it's that much.
For a side of guac?
Is that true?
Wow.
So worth it, though.
It's so good. It really is some of the best guac.
He might not be Mexican enough for us to trust him on this.
Correct.
Just the simple math or that it's the best?
Oh, the simple math.
Okay. I was going to say, because as a Mexican, I think it's great.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah. And thank you to the... I think we're up to 754 people that sent me the story about Alex Trebek. I thank you.
Alex Trebek.
Nope, he's very much alive. But he has said that there's a 50-50 chance and a little less that he'll stay on board when his contract expires in 2 years. He has hosted Jeopardy since 1984. And when asked by Harvey Levin who he could see replacing him, he name-checked two people. One.
What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson?
It's not Turd Ferguson. One was a very interesting choice. He said, I mentioned to our producer not so long ago that the fellow that does play-by-play for the LA Kings, they should consider him. Talking about Alex Faust.
Huh.
I thought, well, I think he's doing the Kings because he was young and, Bob Miller's retired. Get that young guy in.
Right.
Keep him there forever.
Right.
Is that the same skill set? Calling play-by-play hockey and hosting a game show on
TV?
Very similar. Okay.
No. And then he said, there's an attorney, Laura Coates. She's African-American. She appears on some of the cable news shows from time to time. All right.
Maybe let's stop asking him his opinion.
Maybe let's stop not only asking him, because let's be on it, Alex. This is a great negotiation tactic, right?
Sure.
Contract's coming up, expiring.
He's been doing it since 1984, though. Do you think he's getting tired of it?
It's like a month a year.
It's not a long chunk of time, but they put in a lot of tapings during that time.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it is an easy work by any means. But the money he's getting paid for that chunk of work?
Right.
I think he's got another contract in him.
And by the way, I don't know that we want this man off our TV.
Raindrops, drop tops, bankrolls on me, keep me company. We did the most. Pull up in ghosts. Dabbing on them like the usual. I'm young and rich. Plus, I'm bougie.
I mean, seriously, can anyone replace Alex
no.
Trebek?
He's a national treasure.
Oh, I love
not
him
this
so much.
Country,
not,
but
not ours. But he's Canadian.
Oh.
He's an international treasure.
Thank you.
There
you're
go.
Welcome. Hey, the comedy roast of Bruce Willis drew in 3.2 million viewers across multiple platforms on Sunday. It makes it more watched than the roast of Roseanne, James Franco, Rob Lowe, Bob Saget, and Joan Rivers. However, not as big as Charlie Sheen, Jeff Foxworthy, Justin Bieber, Pamela Anderson, Larry the Cable. It's such a weird article. Like,
yeah, that's strange.
Here's who it didn't beat. Here's who it did beat. Beat it, kid, is what I'm saying throughout this whole thing. who was tuning in for that Jeff Foxworthy roast?
That's a great question.
Right? Larry the Cable Guy, 2009. That was a big roast, too. Flava Flav, 2007. Also a great
That's
roast.
Pretty good.
I mean, seriously. We need to talk to Jeff about that.
All right.
Some birthdays for you. J.K. Rowling. It is Kevin's favorite author.
I do like her.
You do like her. Mm-hmm. Wesley Snipes, BJ Novak, Dean Cain, Superman.
Sure.
Kevin, what's your memory of him?
Well, I mean, I was playing in a quote-unquote celebrity game, and I was pitching, and I couldn't throw a strike for the life of me.
Uh-huh.
Dirt way over his head, behind him. No strike zone. Nowhere near the strike zone. First pitch over the strike zone, he connects with it, and it's still going.
It's still going.
It's still in the air.
Yeah.
I kind of
love it.
Because
it went into orbit.
Yes.
Oh,
it crushed. Just
Superman
crushed
joke.
It. Yeah.
Will Champion, drummer of Coldplay, M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, Mark Cuban. Happy birthday to you. And cute little Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family. I guess he's kind of older now, so I can't really say he's cute little Rico.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
Sure did. That's what's happening.
I don't like to brag. I'm kind of a modest person. But I did post a photo this morning on my Twitter account, at Clyde Tumbaugh, of all the Neckos I was able to buy yesterday.
Oh.
At the Walgreens.
Yeah.
I cleaned them out.
Just went and bought all that chalk.
You know,
kids weren't using.
He's going to drop it off at the local elementary school.
You know they don't make Neckos anymore. They closed down the factory, you guys. So
I made them in 100 years.
I've been on the hunt, and I found 11 yesterday. The last 11 at the Walgreens near my house. So I scooped them all up, and now I just have to parcel them out so that they last me the rest of my life.
That's where you can buy the best candy and food is at Walgreens.
Yep, sure. I found that.
They really have the high quality items there.
Hey, I had already been to like 5 other stores, you know, convenience and grocery stores looking for it.
Right.
I was delighted to find it at Walmart.
Sure.
But so I got my Neckos, and like I said, I'm going to have like one every 3 months or something just to make sure they last me the rest of my life. But it'll be worth it. I think it was a good call. And it's good, actually, that I have something like that to look forward to because my brother, I can't believe I'm talking about my brother for 2 days in a row. Is getting on my last nerve.
Your brother's getting on your last nerve.
My little brother, yesterday, if you weren't with us for the show, my little brother showed up on my doorstep out of the blue with no call, with no text, with no warning at all. He's just sitting on my front porch in my house. He lives in Maryland, you guys.
I would love that if my brother surprised me like that, but Bean is not one for surprises.
No.
I like a schedule. I like to know what I'm doing.
Right.
I have a system.
But you like your brother.
I like my brother very much, yeah.
Just you need a heads up that he's coming, the surprise part.
Yes. So that was thing one. So he shows up in New Orleans out of the blue. I don't know he's coming. Okay, that was thing one. And I've been seeing my brother more lately because my dad has been very ill, as you know. So here's the other thing that's happening, and I don't know. I don't think this is my brother's fault, but I can't stop thinking about this. And Kevin, you're going to be the voice of reason here.
Well, we're in trouble.
So, my dad, as all smart people do, started putting his affairs in order some time back. He's sick now, but he wasn't at the time, and he put his affairs in order, and he made me the executor of the will. And when we had that conversation, which, by the way, is a conversation a lot of people don't ever want to have, is what's going to happen when you die.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to. I mean, you should, so that there's not a bunch of questions at the end about what you're supposed to do. I mean, I'm so grateful to my father for knowing where all the important paperwork is and knowing how to access accounts and things like that. It's good information. So he said, I'm leaving half to you and half to your brother. And I said, you don't have to leave me anything, Chief. I said, I have been very fortunate with my career. I make a good living, and my brother has not had the opportunities that I have had to travel and relax and take time off and do other things like that. Just leave it all to him.
And now, at some point, did you wonder what it all was?
What do you mean what it all was?
Like,
you, how much money it was? You
yes.
Mean? Never. No, because it didn't matter to me. It didn't matter to me. I don't want it. Look, I'm fine. I didn't want him to leave anything to me. Just leave it to my brother. But I will tell you that my dad, you know, is a was a military man, was in the Navy for 20 years, and then he worked for the Department of Defense for 20 years, mm-hmm. and he's been retired for 25 years. So I certainly – I don't think it's a fortune, okay,
right.
as we're having this conversation, because he made a – you know, he made a modest living. You know, we were a middle-class family grew up. He made a modest living, and he's been retired for 25 years, just living off of his retirement check, right? So I didn't think it was going to be very much money. So as time goes on and as we get to, you know, closer and closer, my dad is you know, is really sick now. He's starting to transfer some of that money now to my brother before he passes away.
Okay.
Because he knows it's coming and he's not going to use it. Mm-hmm. Well, I found out this week that my dad has over $1 million.
Oh, my God.
Over $1 million.
What?
Is this a Breaking Bad situation? Has he been like making meth all these years?
Over a million.
Where did he get $1 million?
Is it too late to go back and go, look, I want you to give 90% to my brother.
Right.
But I'd like just a little taste.
So now that's a lot. I don't care who you are,
right.
how well you think you've been doing. All of a sudden, you're giving away $500,000. Like I said, I didn't put a number on it in my mind. But
maybe you should have.
If you had come to me a few years ago and said, what do you think your dad's leaving behind? I would have said, a couple of $100,000. That would have been my guess. That would have been his cushion.
I think most of us don't know what our parents have.
I think you're right.
We don't ever ask.
Yeah.
Allie asks, apparently.
Allie, do you ask?
I don't ask.
Do you yell at your parents if they buy something extravagant, they replace their air conditioner? You're like, hey, that's my money you're spending at this point.
Of course. God.
So should I feel differently about this? I mean, am I a big dummy or what?
Ooh,
have you still had a great career and made good money? You haven't
yes.
fallen on hard times in the past.
No,
week.
Certainly not. I don't need the money, mm-hmm. but does my brother need that much money?
I mean, no.
I mean, that's the question.
That
right?
much money that's can ruin a guy's life. I mean, right?
He's going to be fine, right, with a little less than that.
Right. That's my point.
So
did you put it into writing anywhere?
No.
It all goes to your brother?
No, I
yes.
didn't.
Perfect.
You're the executor of the will, correct?
Yes.
Well, I think you got your answer right there.
Right?
Huh?
Kevin, not in writing.
And Kevin, will you defend me? Will you be my attorney
sure.
again?
Sure.
No one's listening. There's no record of this.
I'd be
suck
happy
it.
To.
Suck it, Brother John.
106.7 K-Rock.
Shh. Shh. It's my favorite part. It's the same as it was.
Shh.
30 seconds ago.
Shh.
Okay, now. And go.
Wait. There it is.
There it is. There it is.
That was the sweet spot. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
The Roastmaster General himself, our friend Jeff Ross, joins us next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so stick around for that. Hey, King.
Good morning, guys. Did you get a pedicure yesterday like I did?
Did we get a pedicure? No.
Yeah. Getting ready for the singles party. Got to get everything right.
What?
Okay.
No one.
Yeah, right.
It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Come on, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Internet Roundup.
Check it out, y'all.
Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Thug life.
A lot of the single ladies have said, oh, I hope I can see Dave's feet when I come to the singles
nope,
party.
No,
right?
Man, it's not about that. It's about just
so
I
excited
want my
for
feet
that.
To be all janky. They got to look good.
This is a pretty good batch, by the way, of Internet Roundup videos. We take the best viral videos of the week and we put them in one location at kevinandbean.com. The little kid who gets a dog, you guys.
Oh,
did you cry, Allie?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
He's a very sweet kid.
What a little baby.
Look, he's just so happy.
He's
been a dog his whole life. And then how about the speaking of animal videos, how about the dog that has the puppies and then the cat that has the kittens crawls in on top of them? They're all living together in a little dog loo.
Why are they outside?
All about harmony.
I don't know. They should bring that. babies inside.
Maybe focusing on the wrong things.
Those are some of the videos. A guy who gets out of the car in the In My Feelings challenge and immediately gets hit by another car is another one of my favorites. We do have some highlights to spotlight for you on the radio. Michelle Wolf, by the way, the comedian who kind of became real famous as the host of the White House Correspondents' Dinner earlier this year. She has a Netflix show, and this is right up your alley, Allie, because she has created, I think, the ultimate true crime drama. Check it out.
If you love documentaries about real-life murder, you won't want to miss this spellbinding new 10-part true crime series.
Tragedy at home.
This morning, local resident Rachel Warnowski was found strangled.
She was strangled by a bungee cord.
The bungee cord strangler.
The question on everyone's mind is, who did it?
The husband did it. The first murder documentary that just comes out and tells you at the beginning, the husband did it. Look at this guy. It's incredibly obvious he murdered his wife.
On August 16th, 2012, we arrested Rance Warnowski for the murder of his wife.
This is where the documentary should end, because they arrested the guy who did it, the husband. But it goes on for another 9 episodes, so intriguing, you won't even feel bad that you're having fun watching the story of a real woman who died, but who's just white and cute enough to make her case a media sensation. Reminder, she's a real woman who had dreams, just like you, who died.
Look.
It's so true.
It's so good. The husband always did it. Always. Speaking of Netflix, Stephen Colbert on his late night CBS show did the story the other day, maybe you saw it, about how, and this is for reals, by the way, people are having less sex because they're watching so much Netflix. So he put together a public service announcement that he pops in at the end of Alison Brie from Glow, a Netflix show, Mike Coulter from Luke Cage, a Netflix show, and Stephen Colbert are all doing a PSA to remind people you can do both. You can watch Netflix and also have sex.
You can totally do it and watch Netflix.
There's plenty of time in the day to watch Netflix and get your boink on.
Look, we know it's hard to find the time, but that's why Netflix gives you that 5 seconds between the one episode ending and the next one beginning.
And I know what you're saying. Can't it wait a bit? I haven't finished Peaky Blinders yet. And I'm saying, before you start that next episode, take some time to get your own blinders a little peaky'd, if you know what I mean.
I definitely don't.
Grace your own Frankie?
Please stop.
Bojack your own horseman?
Hi. I'm Stephen Colbert from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I just want to say you can also have sex and watch The Late Show.
Right. That's what we're saying. Take a break from watching us to get it on.
No, guys, look, I'm on broadcast. I can't risk these people won't unpause. So I'm encouraging you all to watch my show while you're doing it.
Oh, that's
In fact, you don't even need to watch. Just turn on The Late Show and go to town in each other's bathing suit areas.
Is this like a thing you get on?
Yes.
Very funny. And finally, I can't really do this justice with the audio highlight, but you've got to watch James Corden's video where he agrees to go skydiving with Tom Cruise. Did you guys watch this?
He's scared out of his mind.
And rightfully so.
He tries to run away and Tom Cruise has to catch him and bring him back.
But who would want to skydive? Have any of you guys skydived before?
No.
I haven't and I wouldn't want to.
Mm-mm. No one wants to, so I feel the fear of James.
Yeah.
Sure. The miracle of me, for me, in this video, is Tom Cruise, who is the most enthusiastic, excited person in the world. He really is. It's unbelievable the energy that this guy has, isn't it?
Agreed.
You saw the Mission Impossible movie over the weekend, Kevin. He wanted to fly the helicopter himself for one of those scenes in the movie, but he wasn't a helicopter pilot. So he, for 16 hours a day, for like 3 weeks, went on a crash, no pun intended, crash course to become a helicopter pilot himself so that he could do the flying in the movie.
You imagine the directors and all the people that wrote it and everybody else like, come on, man, don't ruin it for us.
Yeah, you've been flying for a month, Tom. We're going to put you behind. So it's unbelievable his enthusiasm for this. He's so excited to make James Corden jump out of a plane out in Paris. And here's how it begins before they even get to the plane.
Between you and me, I was half expecting him to text me and tell me he was cancelling.
I've actually been trying to get a hold of Tom for the last couple of days to cancel, but apparently I had his number saved wrong in my phone. So I'd also like to take this time to apologise to Tom Hiddleston for all the messages I sent him about my case of food poisoning.
15,000 feet.
Shut up.
15,000 feet, something like that.
I'll be honest, I'm terrified. This feels like a mistake.
You gotta do it, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's
you ready?
Go. Yep.
Let's
here
go.
We go.
Let's
go. Here Come we on. Go. All right. I'll see you later. Bye.
He's running away.
No! 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 Oh, my. That was my fastest Tom Cruise run.
That was good. That was good.
How long will we be in that airplane?
15 minutes.
Is there a meal service? Snacks?
No.
Peanuts?
No.
Little trolley with some drinks on it?
No.
Wow. The worst problem is, in all of this, if we both die, I will get zero press. I will be a footnote. It will be... The story will be, Tom Cruise died. Also, that guy who occasionally drives around in a car was also...
And did you see in the video how long Tom Cruise waits to pull his chute?
Yeah.
He is free-falling what seems like a 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's got some kind of adrenaline junkie thing. Yeah. That's unparalleled.
It is unparalleled.
That James Corden does not have.
No. None of us have. No. Anyway, the whole video is worth watching. There's a bunch of good stuff. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Internet Roundup. Come on, y'all. Internet Roundup.
Oh, watch me, baby.
Imagine Dragons on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ouch.
At 6:53.
Hey, ladies, we're going to be looking for you in about a half an hour or so if you want to join us this coming weekend in Las Vegas. Talking about the Kevin and Bean Built This Pool Singles Party at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Women, 21 and up, about a half an hour from right now, we'll give you some tickets. Allie is here now. Time for our next look at what's happening here on this Tuesday.
Well, we just heard some Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a story about him coming up. But first, how would you like to see... Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back in concert, yes, at the Hollywood Bowl on August the 11th. We are going to take two callers right now. Let's take callers 15 and 16 at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to go to the Hollywood Bowl. You're going to watch Star Wars on the Bowl's spectacular HD screen while John Williams' iconic score is performed live by the Los Angeles Philharmonic.
Ooh, fancy.
It is fancy and conducted by David Newman. It is a blast. If you haven't been to one of these, it is so much fun. They're doing New Hope August 7th and 10th and The Empire Strikes Back on August 9th and 11th. Everybody gets dressed up. They have their lightsabers. It is a really, really fun time. So give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to head to the Hollywood Bowl. All right. Imagine Dragons news. We all watched Believer on HBO last month.
Yes.
It is Dan Reynolds' documentary. Basically kind of takes you through him putting together the Love Loud Festival, which is to support LGBTQ youth and encourage acceptance. And Dan has grown up in the Mormon church, so it was all with his struggles of coming to understand his side and how he could be used on his platform to basically raise awareness for, I don't even know how to word it in the Mormon church, but people that aren't accepted really at all. So he has done the Love Loud Festival. This was its second year this past weekend, and they raised $1 million.
All right.
Not bad. Not bad at all. It was a rousing success. It was held in Salt Lake City this past weekend, reached its goal of $1 million for LGBTQ organizations, including the Trevor Project. And the lineup this year, Imagine Dragons, Zedd, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda, Neon Tree's Tyler Glenn, and Grace VanderWaal. She's that little girl, right? Mm-hmm. With the banjo.
Yeah. She's very talented.
She's a very talented young girl.
How long till Dan Reynolds gets excommunicated from the church for being so mouthy about gay issues?
It does seem like he's battling the Mormon church, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. If you watch the film Believer, a guy that he has on in it who does TED Talks, and he was basically one of the first ones to really reach out, and Dan saw his talks and was like, oh my God, this guy is doing amazing stuff, was excommunicated himself. So it's interesting that Dan hasn't been. But I feel like you excommunicate Dan from the church, that's going to make a lot of people that maybe didn't even think of this issue go,
yeah, probably.
Wait a minute, what are you doing to my boy Dan? I love his tunes. And then it's just all bad. All bad. Speaking of all bad, you guys, it's National Avocado Day. Remember when I told you that Chipotle is giving away free guac? My mouth is...
not working?
No. Let's leave it at that. They're giving away free guac with the purchase of an entree. So for one day only, guac is not extra. And Dave was like, listen, it's nearly, what, $2, $2.50 for a side of guac? So that's a great deal that you're going to get this. Not so fast. Thank you to emailer Howard, who sent this article from Bustle. Listen to this. Don't walk into Chipotle thinking you can just ask for free guac and get it on the side.
That's what it sounds like.
Chipotle is taking this holiday very seriously and requiring your ultimate dedication before unlocking the discount. Once you hit the checkout, type in the discount code avocado and get yourself some free guac. You have to download the restaurant's app.
What?
Put in the discount code.
Nope.
If you try this in person, it won't work. So prepare ahead of time. You have to plan to get free guac. Download the app. Put in the discount code avocado. Chipotle. Come
Stop
on.
Doing what you're doing.
Stop it.
No.
Yeah.
Right, that guy.
Just give the people guac.
That's gosh, no.
Right.
Right? Listen to that kid and Vin Scully. They are both not pleased. Sad news, if you are watching CBS this morning, you have just found out that Alan Alda has revealed that he has Parkinson's disease. The award-winning actor said he was diagnosed with the disease 3.5 years ago. He's probably best known for Hawkeye on CBS's MASH, but he's also won Emmys, Golden Globes, worked in all genres from dramatic films like Aviator to his comedic turn in Tower Heist and a politically charged role as a senator on The West Wing. He seems just like a good dude, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Does seem like that, yeah.
Television royalty right there.
Absolutely.
But I guess the reason, even though, as you mentioned, he's had it for 3.5 years, I guess the reason he is speaking out about it now is he wants to show that you can still live a full life, even with Parkinson's. And like so many others, he's just, you know, encouraging more, you know, more research and more funding to find a cure for this disease.
And weren't you saying that Parkinson's is one of the least funded diseases because it's not an, you just have it. You don't die from it.
You don't die from it. Right.
So there's not a lot of
less
money.
Less urgency in finding a cure for it because it's just a debilitating disease. But as we saw with Muhammad Ali, for instance, you can live and, you know, well into your old age with it. But, yeah, I mean, look at Michael J. Fox.
Right.
He's had it for 30 years.
Right.
He's still working.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's very, very sad for Alan, but he seems to be, handling it like a champion.
Yeah. And like you said, he's had a full life. I've acted. I've given talks. I help at the Alda Center for Communication. And he started a new podcast. Alan Alda has a podcast. Everyone has a podcast, you guys. I love it. I wish it was just all like mashup songs and called Mashed. And that'd be rad.
Yes.
Guys, I need some coffee. It'll get better. Some birthdays for you. J.K. Rowling, B.J. Novak, Will Champion, the drummer from Coldplay, M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, Mark Cuban, Fatboy Slim, Rico Rodriguez, and a guy that went yard. It's still going. Off of Kevin at a charity softball game, Dean Cain. Happy birthday, and that's what's happening.
The great comedian and Roastmaster General Jeff Ross joins us in studio in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know his Roast Battle show comes back officially tonight for the third season on Comedy Central. They had a little bit of a preview on Sunday night, but that's a great show.
Agreed.
Jeff with Nikki Glaser and Anthony Jeselnik, so funny. So Jeff will be joining us in studio coming up. First, though, Allie, you saw something on social media the other day that I think is worth a conversation.
Yeah, somebody had tweeted, what are some movie lines that you incorporate into everyday talk? Like, you just let them flow like it's just something you would normally say. And unless people know that quote, they'll just think you're having a regular conversation. So I started thinking about a quote that I say all the time because it's perfect and I use it constantly. It's from a movie called Dumb and Dumber, and it comes up often. Here it is.
I came a long way just to see you, Mary. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
So you're telling me there's a chance. And you have to do it like that and kind of look at the person and shake your head slowly. It just works. It works.
Do you think... I like that, by the way. Very effective. Do you think, though, that there are some movie lines that have become, just like pickup lines we were talking about yesterday, that have become so too famous, too overused, that it's just a cliche? Like, if somebody walks out to go to another room and they say, I'll be back, no one needs that, right?
That's dumb. But
that's dumb, right?
But let's hear your accent again.
Yeah.
I can't really do it.
But then if you walk into the same room and you say... This rug really ties the room together. I immediately love you because you love Big Lebowski.
So. How about if I see you and I go, smoking?
Hey, again, no. These are all like, no, I guess it does depend really on the movie and the time.
It depends on the movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and the delivery.
Smoking!
I guess what my point is, you know, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Most people have not even seen the movie, but that's something that's just in the language,
right.
You know, for the last 80 years. And at this point, if somebody says that, it doesn't seem at all creative. It doesn't seem at all interesting. It's just boring. You know what I mean? But let's take a look, Kevin, at some of the other ones that are lines that people really use in real life from movies.
I use Talladega Nights for almost everything.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's one of my favorite movies, especially when he thinks he's on fire.
Mr. Biden, come on down here. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise.
So if you find yourself in a sticky situation, Kevin, that's when you scream out to the universe.
I mean, I don't like sticky, but...
I don't like any of this.
By the way, if you have one you use in your real life, we'll include a couple of phone calls if you want at 1-800-520-1067. There was a movie, here's mine, there was a movie years ago, I don't know, about 15 years ago, called State and Maine. Again, nobody ever saw it. I think Alec Baldwin was in it. Clark Gregg was in it. It was a real funny movie. But there's a scene in the movie where Alec Baldwin is in a serious car accident. The car flips over in the middle of an intersection. He's not hurt. He steps out of the vehicle. He dusts himself off and says...
So that happened.
I mean, it's so understated.
Yeah.
But... anytime something like super crazy happens in front of me, that's the first thing that I think is, so that happened.
Yeah.
And I have found that to be very useful.
Wow, that's great because I've heard that from you guys.
Yeah, we say it a lot.
So that's where.
And you never knew where it was from?
I never knew it was from.
Yeah. Didn't he also have like an underage girl in the car and then he said run? She had to run away.
Yeah, I do think there was
a
lot
craziness.
Going on. It was a bad situation. All right, let me hear a couple more.
All right, what do we have? Mallrats?
Yeah, that's mine. You know, when my friends want to do something, I like to be encouraging.
So yeah, that's what you're known for.
No, for real.
Right?
So I give them this quote.
Do it, Doug!
Oh, they look at me and go, my name's not Doug. I'm like, oh, you idiots. You've never seen Mallrats. It's the best.
Huh.
Chip, you're right?
So I like Kevin, I also quote a Will Ferrell movie every day, Step Brothers.
Mm.
And the one I quote all the time is when Dale Dobrik and Brennan are excited about making bunk beds.
So many aerobics in there. So many activities.
So much room for activities.
There's so much room for activities. They made a bunk bed.
I think Step Brothers is underrated.
Oh, I think it's
that
one of
great.
His best.
It's a classic.
For sure. One of both
can
their
we,
best.
Can I get a ruling on there's no excuse or reason for anyone to, in any situation to ever say, show me the money, right?
Never.
Right.
Oh, no. I think that's some of these are sort of lesser known lines.
Right.
That's too big.
I think we all say this one a lot. A movie called Sandlot. I think every single one of us in this room has said this in the past week.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Absolutely. Right.
Allie, tell me you saw the photo of one of the stars of Sandlot the other day.
Unbelievable. The star. That basically is the reason for that quote. He took a picture with a kid who was wearing him on the shirt, and the kid had no idea who he was. So sad.
He's wearing a You're Killing Me Smalls t-shirt, getting his picture taken with the star of The Sandlot as a grown-up man, obviously.
Amazing.
Had no idea who he was. All right. Phones are blowing up, you guys. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Dewey? He's in Riverside Line 1, please. This is going to be interesting to hear how people work these into their real life from movie quotes.
Hey, Dewey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, my quote is, I haven't been having the best of luck with the ladies lately, so my quote's been, I gave her my heart and she gave me a pin.
So at the end of a bad date, that's what you're muttering to yourself as you drive home alone.
Yes. Yeah,
which is happening more and more.
Exactly. Good luck, Dewey. I think the name Dewey may be part of the problem there, by the way.
I didn't want to say it.
Bellflower Live 2, let's say hi to Wendy. She yes. has got a quote-alicious movie, one of my favorites.
Hey, Wendy.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey.
You don't even go here from Mean Girls.
All the time. All the time.
Or you can't sit with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's thank beautiful. You, Wendy. Appreciate it. Let's go to line 3, Hollywood. This is going to be Gasper on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Gasper.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
I used this one quite a bit from the movie Airplane back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I take coffee. I take it black, just like my men.
Amen. And
Gasper, surely you can't be serious.
Yeah, that one too, and it throws everybody off when I say, because they look at me like, what did you just say?
Yeah,
and then
that
I have
one
to repeat it and
yeah.
explain it.
Yeah, don't repeat it and mm-hmm. explain it, though.
That's... That one hasn't aged as well, I think, in the modern
absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yes. No. Airplane is one
I
of the most quotable movies.
Possible.
Yeah, agree.
All right. Thank you for the call, Gasper. Appreciate that. Wow. Look at all these, by the way. All right. Let's go to Ryan, line 8. I need a ruling on this one, you guys.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what it do? What it do?
What it do to you? Huntington Beach. What's going on, man?
Yeah. I always say, it's not a tumor.
Okay.
No.
When do you use that?
Unless you're an oncologist and you're delivering good news.
Every time I have a headache. Every time I have a headache.
Okay.
Who are you talking to? Yourself?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, Ryan.
Well,
wow.
It sounds like it might be a tumor.
That's just sad.
Thank you for calling. All right, you guys, the Built This Pool Kevin and Bean Singles Party is happening this weekend in Las Vegas. We're talking about a party at the pool on the rooftop of the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. We're talking about transportation on the Kevin and Bean Party Bus, and we're talking about you ladies this time around. You're 21 and up. You can go with some friends this weekend. We're asking you to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. What's the topic du jour?
I don't know what that means, but embarrassing things you did on a date. Embarrassing things you did on a date.
Hmm. Allie, has this happened to you?
I mean, yeah. I often do embarrassing things on dates. But
sure.
What are we looking for? Like, maybe... Like a shart?
I mean, I don't know that we want to encourage go that direction.
I'm sorry.
You start there.
Apologies.
Just whatever is embarrassing, okay. Whatever.
That's embarrassing.
Doesn't have to be. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm not saying I did that.
I'm sure that you didn't.
It could be a wardrobe malfunction.
Sure.
It can be a vomit situation.
I think probably vomit situation is going to lead the pack.
Yeah.
It could be you're out on a date and you, oops, run into your boyfriend
or
on that date.
Run into Aunt Flo. You weren't expecting her.
What is
right?
wrong
Why?
With you today?
No.
What are you doing?
Nope.
So embarrassing things that happened to you on a date is what we're looking for
yes.
from ladies only this time around. 1-800-520-1067. We're giving you tickets for the Kevin and Bean Singles Party this weekend in Las Vegas.
It is 727.
We try hard here on the Kevin and Bean Show to bring you lots of features that involve interesting stories in the news. We do Bean Theft Corner. We do What's Up with Florida. People are dumb. 911 is a joke. Because there's a lot of crazy news happening in the world.
Right.
And I think it may be time to try to debut a new feature here.
Oh, wow. So early.
I don't know if this is going to stick. I don't know if this is going to be, this can be one that lasts forever. But I think I'd like to kick off the primary, the first edition of it, if you don't mind. So get the reverb ready here, Kevin.
Okay.
I got a little bit of a theme song here. Ladies and gentlemen, all right, I'm gonna set it up. I'll say it's time for, and then you bring up the reverb, okay?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our new feature here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for Pianos in the News.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I said Pianos in the News. Again, I don't know if it's an all-timer.
Yeah,
I'm just going to rule right now and say no.
Wow, so soon?
Well, I mean
this is the first episode. Yeah. You just watched the first episode of a new series before you decided you hate
it. But what's it called?
It's called Pianos in the News.
Right, okay. So that tells you a lot.
I mean, let's hear him out.
Okay.
Okay, you're not optimistic, but okay, let's see. two stories came across my desk here this week about Pianos in the news.
All right.
Here's a family. He is an English heart disease researcher. He and his wife and his two children are moving from England to New Zealand. Now, New Zealand is one of the many countries in the world, and I don't disagree with the policy. They're a member of the UN Convention on International Trade for Endangered Species, which means they don't let you import ivory. Okay?
Right.
Because they're trying to stop people from going to Africa and killing the elephants and then selling the ivory. So a lot of countries say you can't bring ivory in. Well, he was moving along with his other household items, a 19th century antique upright piano, a 123-year-old upright piano. Hmm. When it arrived on the other end in New Zealand, they ripped all of the piano keys out of his piano.
What?
Because they were made of ivory. Because piano keys for centuries were made of ivory. That's just what they used.
Wow.
And they're like, wait a minute. I didn't go out and kill an elephant and I'm trying to get a tusk in to sell it for, you know, for somebody's boner pills.
Did you say it
was an antique piano?
Did you say it was 123 years old?
Yes.
Oh, they destroyed that.
Wow. And they destroyed it. They are suing. First of all, they have to fit expensive synthetic tops to the keys to get the piano to even work again. And they are also suing the government so that they will hopefully pay for the damage to their piano.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine how furious you would be if you have this antique piano in your house? It's a family heirloom, by the way. You know, it's been in his family forever. Can you imagine if you show up on the other end and you go to sit down with your piano and all the keys are missing? Nobody wants that.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
If you're just joining us, we're doing our new feature called...
Oh, man.
That was on me. That was my bad. All right. I apologize. Our new feature called Pianos in the News. Mm. Okay, so here's the other story, and I think you guys are going to love this one.
Oh, God, there's more.
No, there's two. There's two stories. I think you guys are going to love this one.
All right.
This is a family in suburban Detroit, the Varchetti family. They ordered a pizza from Hungry Howie's, which I'm not familiar with. Perhaps it's a Midwest chain. Hungry Howie's. The pizza guy shows up at their house. As he hands them their pizza, he peeks inside their living room and says, "That is a beautiful piano."
That's a weird thing to say.
Right?
It is.
Hey, well, Do you mind if I take a look at it?
Yes. The pizza guy says, "Beautiful piano. Do you mind if I take a look at it?" Now, where are you guys with that request if you're the guy getting the pizza at the door?
Hey, thanks for the pizza. Go away.
Right.
Who's looking in my house and then asking me to come in and look at it?
Right? That's a good-looking wife. Mind if I take a look at her? Beat it, kid.
So you... Beat it, kid. So you think maybe
this is our new
like
feature.
Beat it, kid. I love that name. We've got to come up with a segment for that.
All right. Make a note.
So you think that this is maybe like a home invasion robbery getting ready to happen or something like that? Like, why is this pizza delivery guy wanting to get in my house, right?
I don't like it.
At worst, but even at best, if he's interested in your piano, I don't care. Go away.
Beat it, kid.
His name is Bryce Dudal. He is 18 years old. He had just graduated from high school. So he sits down at the piano and says, "Do you mind if I try it out?"
Get out, kid.
Beat it, kid. So he's just living in the house now with the Varchetti.
What is happening?
So the pizza guy, 18, sits down and starts playing the piano.
You're going to tell me this is the pizza guy.
This is the pizza guy.
For real?
This is the pizza guy playing the third movement of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. You should see the video of the guy in his little pizza outfit sitting there at the piano just wailing. Who saw this coming?
Anyone that's taken piano lessons and has a part-time job.
I mean, that's more than piano lessons.
Yeah, this is
that's pretty.
Yeah, this is a kid who taught himself to play the piano when he was around 6 years old, by the way. Then he just fell in love with the instrument. One of the first things he learned to play, by the way, was the theme song to the cartoon Scooby-Doo. He couldn't read music, obviously, as a tiny little kid, so he used to play everything by ear. In fact, he taught himself to play this movement of the Beethoven Moonlight Sonata by ear. Couldn't read music. Taught himself to read it.
That's impressive.
His mother bought him Beethoven CDs. He just kept playing and playing and taking lessons and lessons. He gave up the piano about a year ago to concentrate on baseball. He's trying to get a baseball scholarship to college now that he's out of high school. But he still enjoys sitting down and playing piano from time to time. Nobody saw this coming, you guys.
Beat it, kid.
Beat it. Our new feature. Beat it, kid. And this has been Pianos. Oh, big finish here.
Still want the echo?
In the news.
Okay. I think Beat It Kid is going to last longer than Keanu's in the news, but we'll see.
Naked ladies are finding the pool as well. We're talking about this weekend in Las Vegas at the scene on the rooftop of the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, brought to us by the Happy Time Murders, which is in theaters everywhere on August the 24th. We're looking for you, if you're a lady, at 1-800-520-1067, 21 and up. You want to come party with us this weekend in Las Vegas. Kevin, what's the topic? We'll go to the phones.
Embarrassing things you did on a date.
I like it very much. All right. Why don't we start with, we can start with Samantha Whittier, line one, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Samantha.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is really embarrassing, and I hate that I have to even repeat the story, but you guys asked. So, okay. Well, not that long ago, maybe a year ago, but, people take long to process it, especially males. So a whole year later, after my ex and I break up, he sees me at a party with this new guy, and he gets super crazy, goes up to the guy and punches him. But me being, a respected lady, I felt bad for the guy. He wasn't even my boyfriend or anything. He's getting punched in the face. So I did what anyone would do and defend somebody that looks defenseless. And I pepper sprayed my ex-boyfriend. And then
you pepper sprayed your own your ex-boyfriend.
So you're on a date. You run into your ex-boyfriend. He punches out your date. So you pepper spray him.
I did.
You are a party. How do we not take Samantha with us to Las Vegas?
Let's just consider. We'll put her on hold and we'll just consider it.
For a bit.
Why are you not in 100 YouTube videos?
For however long it takes to get over it. All right. Let's go to Aaron in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi.
Embarrassing things you did on a date.
It's so embarrassing. Okay, so I went out with this guy, first date, St. Patrick's Day, and St. Patrick's Day is like my white girl wasted holiday, so I went hard, and we're fooling around in his car at the end of the date, and I just leaned over, and I threw up in the side door pocket, and just...
There you go. There's our first vomit, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, hold on. Did you finish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
She's a goer. Why am I the only one clapping?
So she kept the party going for St. Patrick's Day. That's
right.
What you're impressed with, Kevin.
Correct.
Okay. All right, very good. Let's try Melissa. Talk about a goer. She's on line four, Hacienda Heights, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi, how are you? I love you guys.
Thank you.
I see you guys every day.
Thank you very much.
We're about to love you, if my information is correct about the story you're about to tell us.
It's so embarrassing. So I go on a date, and I'm watching the Mission Impossible, and then we're getting it on, and Tom Cruise, of course. I was like, oh, yes. And then all of a sudden, we're having sex in the theater, and then the usher comes by and starts flashing and says, hey, we have cameras.
Why is the usher bugging you?
Right?
What's wrong with the
cameras,
usher?
Just start watching.
What's wrong with the usher? Who has ushers in movie theaters anymore?
Was this past weekend?
Yeah, she said Mission Impossible.
Well, I didn't know which one it was, movie it was. Was it this past weekend?
That's correct.
Okay, so you have a boyfriend right now?
No, I went on a date.
Oh, went on a date. Okay.
I like her more.
Right. Very good. So that's why you desperately need to come to Las Vegas with us this week. Thank you, Melissa.
She's like, no, it's just a dude I was boning in theater.
Right. I'm single.
I've never met him before.
All right. Let's try Jeanette, please. Downey, line six. Jeanette joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about embarrassing things you did on a date. What do you think about your competition so far this morning? You've been listening on hold, Jeanette.
Oh, my God. I didn't barf and I didn't have sex, but I farted. Oh.
All right.
This is what you wanted, Allie.
Yeah, you demanded this. What happened? How did it happen?
He ordered ice cream for dessert, and I was like, no, don't do it.
Can't and you just say, hey, ice cream's not good for me?
No, it's the first date. I'm just going to roll with it. And oh, man, we looked at each other. It was awkward. We didn't kiss goodnight. I never saw him again.
Oh, Jeanette.
You can understand, right, Allie?
I get it, girl. I am with you.
Do you bring up lactose intolerance on your first date,
so
Allie? Probably not.
I will say, if somebody wants to share a dessert, I'll say, oh, trust me, you don't want that.
Gotcha.
And that's enough said. Yeah.
All right, Jeanette, thank you very much. I think we have a similar story from Danielle, Norwalk, 21 years old, line 8, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Danielle.
Hi. Yes, absolutely. It's the same kind of scenario as the last caller, but I made brown on my pants and it actually started dripping off on the floor.
Oh, okay. No. All right. No. All right.
Who asked for this?
All right.
That is
stupid, Allie.
A great first date, Danielle. Oh.
I mean, technically, that's what we're looking for.
I mean, yeah. Okay, thank you. Please, hold on. Allie?
See, here's the problem. When you give examples that you don't want, Allie, then you get stories that you don't want.
I mean,
that's a pretty embarrassing first date.
Beat it, kid. All right. How many do we have to give away, you guys?
We have one.
Oh,
oh!
What was that noise?
Because we just have so many good callers.
Yeah,
I mean, we can give away more if you want.
I mean, I think
give away less.
Melissa would be a lot of fun at the party
later in the week.
I think Melissa would be a lot of fun at the party.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so Melissa is in. Congratulations, Melissa!
Hey, thank you.
Well done.
Okay, I'm taking you to the movies while we're there.
Oh, Bean.
And let's do one more. You want to go with Brown in the Pants, Danielle? You like Samantha with the pepper spray?
No and no. Does that make me bad?
Aaron.
I went Aaron, St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Threw up and just kept on going.
All right, let's do Aaron.
She's a goer.
Aaron?
Yay!
Congratulations.
You go hard. You're what we're looking for.
Perfect. Thank you.
You bet. We'll see you on Friday. Thank you for calling. So Jeff Ross will or will not be on the Kevin and Bean Show?
He'll be here. He'll be here right after the top of the hour.
All right.
The Roastmaster General is on his way, but he lives in a different time zone, so he was an hour off. That's all.
Got it.
That's all. It's just an easy mistake to make.
Sure.
All right. Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 7:52. Allie, what's happening?
I don't know how I feel about this, so I want to gauge your reaction. Jack Bauer's story may not be over at Fox just yet. The network has a 24 prequel series in the works. So longtime 24 showrunner and the co-creators of the original series are working on an idea for a prequel which will trace the origin story of Jack Bauer, of course, originally played by Kiefer Sutherland.
Will it be called 23?
Oh, right.
See what you did?
Because it's before 24.
Right.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong, indeed. Fox already tried once to reboot the franchise with 24 Legacy. It aired for one season in 2017, featuring actor Corey Hawkins, who took over for Sutherland in the lead and was canceled shortly thereafter. So do we need a prequel to 24?
I mean, if it's the original people and writers and creators and they find somebody that's great, sure.
Okay.
I love that series.
So good.
Yeah, but it has to be so good again.
Right.
And that wasn't the last time.
No.
No, it was not.
No, it was not. Oh, 24 was just such a great show.
Loved it.
Can't we maybe redo 24, but it's like 24?
Still 24?
Still? And still 24? No? Mm. All right. Listen, I'm just spitballing here.
Okay.
So a week after Disney gave Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 director James Gunn the boot for his offensive tweets that he wrote a decade ago, the franchise's cast has signed an open letter in support of him. That's all of them. Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, Zoe Saldana, Karen Gillan, Vin Diesel, Michael Rooker, and Dave Bautista, and James's brother Sean all signed a letter, and they each published it via their social media accounts. They're not defending his tweets, which made light of rape and pedophilia, but they believe that Disney moved way too fast on this. Here's just a portion of what they wrote. Each of us looks forward to working with our friend James again in the future. His story isn't over, not by a long shot. There is little due process in the court of public opinion. James is likely not the last good person to be put on trial. Given the growing political divide in this country, it's safe to say instances like this will continue, although we hope Americans from across the political spectrum can ease up on the character assassinations and stop weaponizing mob mentality.
And let me add, by the way, that this James Gunn story is so different than the sexual harassment stories that are in the news all the time, like your Harvey Weinstein or your Les Moonves or whoever. This isn't an investigation, or Chris Hardwick, this isn't an investigation that needs to take place to find out what happened. it's all public. We all know what happened.
Right.
It's just a question of how we deal with it.
And it played out in public already once.
It played out in public multiple times because he has apologized for being this guy that tried to be offensive and dark, and he realized it didn't work. So he changed the way that he acted. He's apologized for these tweets for how many years?
Yeah, and he's had years of good behavior of not doing it.
Well, at least after he apologized the first time, Disney didn't continue working with him, right?
Oh, they hired him for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. What?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never liked this story since the day it happened, and I still think that Disney, I hope, will end up hiring him back. And I think this helps a lot, having the support of the crew from their $1.5 billion franchise.
I think so too.
Yeah, absolutely. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson. I mean,
are they divorced
still?
No,
they're still going. But okay. The release date for her new album Sweetener is fast approaching. But that's not stopping her from making some last minute changes. She has a song, an album called Pete, and she just recently changed it to the full name of her fiancé. So the song is now called Pete Davidson.
Oh, I bet that's a great song.
And on Monday, a fan tweeted at her asking about the switch, like, what made you do it? And she said, quote, I like the way it looks. I love his name. And I love him. Music lasts forever. It'll outlive any tattoo, any memory, any anything. Even myself. So I want my love for him and how I feel to be part of that. That's definitely not going to bite you in the ass right there.
Right? That can never come back and hurt you.
Well, they have been dating 3 months.
Yeah.
Kevin is so hoping to get married and stay together forever so that he never has to say Ariana Grande again, because she'll probably be Ariana Davidson.
Ariana Grande?
No, Grande. Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. That would help me, Bean. You're right.
I feel like
I can say
we've
Davidson.
Talked about this on the air. Those couples that are just so overdo it on social media.
Yeah, that's
it
the thing. Is that
it never ends well.
You can overdo it in private, which is also annoying.
Yeah.
But then you can overdo it in public. It's like, back off.
Right.
You're happy. Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm telling you, every friend that I have that posts how happy they are and what a great husband and, oh my God, how magical, look at this. Get a couple glasses of wine in those bitches, and they will tell you. So, I mean, just saying, maybe step back. Live your life not so public a little bit.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
Yep.
Don't eat dairy on a date if you're lactose intolerant.
I mean, that seems like a side note, but okay.
Right. I was just thinking about that girl pooping herself.
Yeah, that's great.
She used the words dripping. Remember that?
You don't have to remind us of that.
Sorry. Some birthdays for you. Dean Cain, J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling. Sometimes I call her Janky.
Sure.
Because I'm just jealous of her. B.J. Novak, Will Champion from Coldplay, M. Shadows, Avenged Sevenfold, Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family, Mark Cuban, Dallas Maverick, Shark Tank, and Fatboy Slim, and that's what's happening.
Jeff Ross, how long ago were you asleep?
19 minutes.
I feel like there's a story there.
Well, why? I mean, I am wearing a suit from last night.
Oh, did you not sleep? Or did you sleep in those clothes? Or have
great,
you been up all night?
I had an amazing night. The downside is that I'm late, and I'm sorry.
Right, but we're okay with that. We're asking him why you're still wearing the same clothes from last night.
I went to Magic Castle last night.
Okay.
Okay.
Had a blast.
Right.
It's a fun place.
My friend threw a little going-away party for herself.
Okay.
And my friend Margaret. And she's out on tour with Death Cab for Cutie, like, right now. We were celebrating.
Okay.
What's Margaret's
last name?
We had
the Bruce Willis roast, and you wouldn't know her.
Okay.
And,
But he'd like to Google her right now.
No, it's okay. It's okay. All right,
And my cousin Aaron's staying with me, and I was like, all right, I don't know what to do. I want to go hang out at Margaret's place. And instead, I did, and Aaron went to my house, and he came here.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I'll meet you at K-Rock at 7:15. And she had an early flight, so I got up to say goodbye. And the next thing I know, I heard you guys yelling at me over the radio.
So that's how you want to wake up.
You were late because of a booty call. I mean, that's
basically
what happened.
It was a late night fun night, you know?
Well said.
I mean, potato, potato, Jeff.
I'm saying way too much. I'm not completely
right. Good on you.
I will say I'm wearing a suit with a borrowed T-shirt, a tie.
And a tie.
And a hat that my sister gave me.
No, it's a good look.
And couldn't be happier. I mean, what a way to wake up. Like, normally I wake up, I'm by myself, it's lonely, but now I get to hang out with you guys.
Well, listen, we're happy to see you. No worries. Congratulations on the ratings for the Bruce Willis roast.
I just heard about that.
Good news.
Crazy, right?
Woo!
I mean, he's a huge star to subject himself. And you said all along, and because I love watching your appearances on Kimmel and whatnot, you said all along that this was Bruce's idea, right? He's the one who said, hey, roast me.
He did. He was
That's
really
amazing.
Not only did he say, hey, roast me, he called me a couple times and said, don't hold back. If you hold back, it's not good. He's like, throw stones because I'm... What he actually said was, throw stones because I'm going to be throwing them right back.
Okay.
None of us saw this coming.
Yeah, why do you think he wanted to do it, Jeff?
You know, I think you get to a place in your life and your career where you're so comfortable, you're ready to look back. And I don't think...
And this was it?
I think this was that moment. He really was in a good place with his family, mm-hmm. and his wife Emma is awesome. And his daughters, I think, might have encouraged it because they're real big comedy fans.
Right.
Okay.
And he was at, I remember seeing him at the Chris Rock show at the Dolby a few, 6 months ago. I was there opening for Chris Rock, and he was really into it. He's loving the comedy, quoting all the jokes. And he came to my show in New York last month.
So he came to you specifically to say, let's do a roast.
No, not me first, but he was, I think he saw me roasting people in the audience, and I think he was into the roast stuff. At least that's what he said at the time. But what I found out is he used to hang out at the Improv.
What?
When Moonlighting was on, he would hold court at the Improv on Melrose with John Goodman, and they would listen to the jukebox and goof around with the audience and the comedians, like in the bar.
Oh.
And he would even get in, like, fights and stuff, they told me. Like, he was, like, the guy at the Improv bar, Bruce Willis,
who
like,
knew?
Major
I
TV
love that.
Star.
Well, the bartender there at the Improv, he's got a mean pour, so
Eddie.
I can understand. Yeah. I bet Eddie was there back then, too,
yeah,
right?
The bartender at Magic Castle last night. He made
Apparently
me disappear
so.
From my radio appearance.
So, Jeff, I know you have, I mean, you had a great day this time around. So many funny people. I would imagine they're all nervous to go up and do a roast in front of you because you're, frankly, the best there is at roasting.
Thanks,
you,
pal.
You really are. Who impressed you the most from this batch?
Wow.
I thought Edward Norton was great.
Everybody's talking about Edward Norton. Mm-hmm. And he worked really hard on this. I think he wanted to be there for Bruce Willis. I think Bruce Willis did him a major favor. He's appearing in this independent movie that Edward Norton is writing and directing called Motherless Brooklyn.
Okay.
Edward Norton told me all about it. He's like, dude, I don't want to give too much away, but he did me a really solid role, part in it, you know. And he tells the whole story in the roast. You saw, like, they became friends through a Broadway show and everything. And Edward Norton got real. It was like, even though it was funny and really creative, like, he read me his speech on the phone ahead of time. And I was dying. I was like 10 minutes long. But I was like, this is a masterpiece. and it's not any other person's style. And it's about acting. And that's what you need. It's like, let's have a real actor roast Bruce Willis, who's a real movie star. And I just thought it was so amazing. And you could feel it in the room, guys. You could really feel it, that something, a real moment, I like to call it.
Yeah,
it wasn't shtick.
Was nice.
Like, I'm doing jokes. It's fine. You know, Dom is there. He's a comedian. There's some movie star, Cybill Shepherd. They all have their own flavor. But
right.
Edward Norton brought something to it that I had not seen. People are saying it's like one of the most memorable roast sets in history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nikki Glaser was so great, too, by the way.
Man, I love
so
this person.
Good.
She slayed.
I love this person. She had that, what she calls the opening spot, the Geraldo spot. She calls it the Greg Geraldo spot, where you ruthlessly go in because you're first.
Sets the tone.
That's the worst position to be in?
It's the best position.
Best position.
Well, the crowd might not be warmed up yet, but you get first crack at all the Bruce Willis material. You can do the first Ashton Kutcher joke, and she did.
Right,
she did.
When you're not the roastee, when you're just a member of the panel of the dais,
and they start coming in on you, because everybody gets roasted, not just the guest of honor.
Right.
Do you ever hear from those people that they get hurt because they're like there to roast somebody else and they don't expect it's going to come so hard on them? Like Kevin and I were talking off the air earlier about how, you know, people were brutal to Cybill Shepherd, for instance. Did she know what she was signing up for just walking into that room?
Okay, I'll give you an exclusive.
Please.
Payback for being late. She...
Don't say she had no idea.
She went nuts when she read the first draft of her script, and she backed out.
Is that right?
And Bruce called me and said, hey, man, you got to get Cybill's phone number for me. And all we had was an email, and we somehow tracked down a phone number, and he called her. And he's like, he somehow kept her in the
show.
Talked
her into it.
And you could tell, even though there's all these rumors and stuff, how they hated each other over the years, you could tell there was true affection once she actually got to the place. And I talked to her at rehearsal, and you could see it during the roast. He would look back at her and be like, shrug his shoulders, like, how crazy is this decades later?
She didn't seem like she knew what was coming.
She didn't. She really didn't.
She didn't.
And then
okay.
She got her
a lot of talk about her vagina.
Cybill Shepherd. I had a good one that didn't make the edit. I said, Cybill Shepherd, I know your sister, German Shepherd. It's like not even a joke, but it was a good like lead into like meaner jokes. Like, sometimes I'll do almost like a kiddie joke before the really mean jokes.
Yes.
You know, and I said, like most Shepherds, Cybill hasn't worked in the last two centuries.
Jeff Ross is here, the Roastmaster General. We've been talking about the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis, which, by the way, is going to be in reruns. But you can see all the clips online. It is so funny, and Jeff did such a great job. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we need to talk about why you're really here today, which is Jeff Ross Presents Roast Battle, back for its third season on Comedy Central.
Wow.
And it looks amazing. More with Jeff. We'll get him some more coffee, too, right after this on K-Rock. Comedian Jeff Ross on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always great to see Jeff. By the way, before we move on and talk about the Roast Battle, I just was thinking about this. Did you ever open for any bands as a comedian up and coming, like Bobcat did?
No, but now I get those calls.
What?
I opened for Wu-Tang at Clusterfest in June.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know where to start with that one.
I opened for John Mayer in New Jersey last summer. You know, not too far from where I grew up.
Does anyone that's there for music want to hear comedy? Is it a hard crowd?
You know, John has a reasoning like that it works. Mm-hmm. With some comedians.
What about Wu-Tang?
Wu-Tang was one of the... I was in Jutang Clan. Old Jewish bastard.
Right. So that does make sense.
You know, it was one of those things where it was a comedy and music festival, and I was doing a set, and Comedy Central said, why don't you bring out Wu-Tang? And I wound up doing 10 minutes before them and then an hour after them, because RZA brought me back out. So
okay.
If you get set up right...
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I've learned how to work those big arena crowds from touring with Chris Rock all over the world and doing shows with Chappelle and Mayer.
How different are they?
When you have cameras, now we have Jumbotrons with video, I can bring people up or work the front of the crowd and people can see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I try to make it intimate, but yet fast enough to feel like it could live up to a show, a music show.
I think you're right. It has to be set up right, because you've heard Bobcat tell the funny stories of opening for Nirvana, for instance, and nobody wanted to see him. Nobody.
Yeah.
That's tough.
For some reason, if you set it up right and you walk out there with, like, you know, a blank of steel, you can do it. Like, the crowd will go with you.
How impressed were you seeing Chris Rock every night? He's great, right?
He took me, Jeselnik, and Michelle Wolf earlier in the year to... All over Europe. We went to Scotland and Copenhagen and Dublin and Tel Aviv and big arenas. He was doing his Netflix before his Netflix special. And I would come out at the top of the show and MC. And then right before I brought Chris out, he would have me speed roast audience members. And no comic ever wants to follow that. Except Chris Rock. He loves it.
Yeah,
he loves
awesome.
The chaos of me like wrecking the room right before he comes out. And just to almost prove to himself every night that it doesn't matter. He
exactly.
is the AC/DC of comedy. You put him on and he does a show. He does a rock and roll comedy show with no music, just his mouth.
That's fantastic.
Let me ask about your style of comedy and like the roast of Bruce Willis and the roast battle. Your comedy is super inappropriate. And it seems like there's no room for that anywhere in our society anymore except for you.
Thanks, pal.
People don't.
I love that.
Why don't people come after you like they do everyone else?
What's wrong with you?
I mean, it just seems like no one can get away with inappropriate anymore.
There's very few safe havens for comics. I don't feel safe on Twitter anymore. I don't feel safe unless they're coming to see me. Like, if I go to a charity gig, you know, I used to try to, like, shake it up and be funny. Like, now I try to play it safe because people are so ready to complain and be offended. I'm offended by all the people that are constantly offended.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's not good for comedy. It's not good for free speech. It's not good for America.
Speaking of offensive in the best way.
Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh, my goodness.
Good God. Between him and Nikki Glaser, it's like you hit the jackpot for the roast battle.
I wanted it to be authentic roast performers judging the roast battles this time. And Anthony agreed. He's one of the funniest guys in the world, but he also understands joke structure and can give real judging and real criticism. And when he signed on, then we went to Nikki, and Nikki is so funny, and she has no fear, and she loves jokes. Mm-hmm. She realizes that they're like currency, and she goes for it. So I didn't know what our chemistry would be like, but it was great. It was so much fun. And then Nikki hang out all weekend. And
28 comedians doing battle on this season of Roast Battle.
Now, who's tonight?
Tonight
at 10 on Comedy Central, it debuts.
Jamar Neighbors is he calls himself America's Last Crack Baby. He's from Compton.
That's a good start. I'm in.
Say no more.
He's ripped. He's like shredded. So there's no comic that's in this good a shape that's this funny.
Okay.
Not since Joe Piscopo. And not even then. And he didn't want to battle just anybody. And my friend from New York, Yamanika Saunders, who's got Netflix specials, and she's roast battled before. She's a big black woman. And they didn't really know each other well. They didn't really like each other. They were sort of hesitant. But I knew them both well, and I knew that if
you
they
thought
got
it was
together,
a good matchup?
So here's what happens. I'm not going to give away much about what happens. She used a roast battle technique I've never seen.
Wow.
When he made a joke, he goes tonight, he goes, Yamanika looks like she got 10 big toes. Instead of, like, taking the hit and letting him get his laugh, she steps right in his face every time he gets a laugh as if she got the laugh.
Wow.
So it's a very physical, where there's no... The rules of roast battle are original material only, no physical contact, and every battle ends with a hug. She kept putting her chest right up against his. So I had to accept the ref... Brian Moses had to keep separating them. So it's almost like a violent woman, like a woman hitting, like pushing this guy around. And they're both very clever and very dynamic performers.
It's practically UFC, you guys. I can't wait.
It really is a really great roast battle.
Well, and you've got some wonderful comedians this year. A lot of names you know, like, you know, Todd Barry and Tony Hinchcliffe, guys like that, and the Sklar Brothers, and Sarah Tiana, but lots of people that Jeff knows are funny that we're going to be introduced to on the Rose Battle, too, which makes fun.
Next week, I'll tell you real quick, next week is our first family-themed episode.
Family-themed.
Husband and Roast Battle's a wife, and then the Sklar Brothers, two twin brothers, for the first time roast battle one another.
Nice.
To find out who's funniest.
Husband and wife.
It's, you know, we always have like a... like a paramedic backstage. First time we ever had a divorce lawyer backstage. And I won't tell you what happens, but this show is... We used to do a tournament, and now instead of doing a tournament, it's all dream matches. The best matchups we could think of.
I love it.
And then the season finale will be me roast battling NBA All-Star Blake Griffin.
That's a strange choice.
He has no idea what he's in store for. He's a funny guy, though.
He's super funny. I did something for his charity recently, and he challenged me to a roast battle on Twitter.
Did he?
He said, Jeff, how about one round of roast battle? Why don't you try roasting someone your own weight for a change? And I wrote right back and I said, all right, one round. That sounds good since you never make it out of the first round. And he has really good timing. And he's funny, and I knew that he'd be good. I didn't think he'd be as good as he is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, that'll be the season finale. Jeff Ross presents Roast Battle. It is on tonight at 10 p.m. and every Tuesday night on Comedy Central. Jeff, before you go,
yeah.
We have 60 seconds to rapid-fire some questions at you. First answer off the top of your head. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's go. What were you like in high school?
I was friends with everybody. I was friends with the nerds and friends with the jocks.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No.
Have you ever been?
But it's why I'm late.
Have you ever been in a real fight?
Yes, I'm a black belt in karate. I have defended people and myself.
I don't believe that. All right. Is there a movie that you finish watching every single time you come across it?
Rocky.
Do you miss the World Cup?
No.
What's something everybody would be surprised to find out about you?
I look like Bruce Willis if he died at the end of Die Hard.
I Googled your name this morning. What's the first thing you think came up?
Where the hell is he?
No, it's actually Roast Battle.
Yeah!
That's the first thing
battle!
That came up.
Battle!
What's the most embarrassing TV show you enjoy?
My 600-pound life. I watch with
that's a good one.
I watch
that's
with my 500-pound girlfriend.
All right, Jeff, go back to bed.
Love Thanks, you guys. Man. Kevin and Bean forever.
Thank you, man.
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Allie's got What's Happening coming up. We got more singles party tickets. We're going to be looking for guys between 9 and 9:30 that are 21 and up that might want to join us in Las Vegas this weekend. So we'll hand out those tickets. Plus, the champ will be here, UFC flyweight champion Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, just after 9 a.m. That's all coming up on KROQ.
Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson coming up just after the top of the hour here on the world famous KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
By the way, we just found out that Chip and Demetrius weigh the same.
Right.
We got to put something together out in the parking lot, right, between those two. Obviously. They got a lot of bad blood between them.
Yeah. Do they have bad blood between them?
I think so. Hmm. Yeah. I'd pay to see that. Chip, what do you think?
Sure.
Sure, why not, right?
Before I go on tour, let me get injured.
Sure. That is all coming up. Plus, we're looking for guys next half hour if you want to join us for the singles party in Las Vegas this weekend. First, though, 8:54.
Is that right?
8:55. Allie's here with What's Happening.
What's Happening is a little band called Culture Club. You heard me. Culture Club. They have their first new song.
You said Culture Club.
I did.
What did you mean to say?
I meant Culture Club.
Oh.
This is their first new song in 20 years, you guys. In 20 years.
It better be really good then.
Well, I haven't heard it, but it is called Let Somebody Love You.
Love is revolution.
I am delighted that Boy George is healthy enough to be singing again after the troubles he's been through in recent years.
Same.
I don't know that the world is waiting for New Culture Club, but I'm happy for them.
Listen, anytime you can infuse a little reggae sound into anything, I'm in. I'm in. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
Kevin, what's your favorite Culture Club song?
This? Mr. Bombastic. Mm. Baby Fantastic. Touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
It's my favorite, probably.
I mean, that was real good. How about you, Allie?
Probably, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Karma Chameleon. I'll tumble for you.
Are they the ones that did War is Stupid and People Are Stupid?
Yeah,
they sure did. Yeah, they sure did.
That's not a good song.
What about you, Bean?
Time Clock of the Heart.
I mean, Deep Cut.
Love it.
Nice. By the way, they have sold more than 150 million records worldwide. That's not bad.
Well, when they were making music, people were still selling albums. That's still
true.
A thing.
That is, all right.
But it's not anymore.
Fine. Wow, you hate Culture Club.
I'm just saying.
Got it.
I love them.
I want to be in the band.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Amen to that guy. And if you're just waking up, great news. It's National Avocado Day. And Chipotle announced that they're going to give away free guac with the purchase of an entree. Yes, for one day only, guac is not extra. And then we found out, but before you get it, you need to download the app to Chipotle and then put in discount code AVOCADO. Seems like a lot
That's
of work.
That's a lot of work.
Just to get some free guac on National Avocado Day.
Dang.
I see what you're doing, Chipotle, but maybe just in good faith.
Let's make it a little easier.
Make it a little easier for the people. National Avocado. Oh. Right. Comes around, what, 3, 4, 5 times a year, National Avocado Day?
Probably just once, my guess.
I don't know. I feel like these things, like, then, like, next week, it's National Guacamole Day. Didn't we just have it? No, it was avocado. All right. National Avocado as a Side Day. It just, I don't know. National Avocado Toast Day.
Or a Mexican?
Great question. And I am a Mexican. Always. Mexican. Some birthdays for you. Dean Cain. People are just joining us, Kevin. What did he do to you?
Look, it was a, quote, celebrity baseball game, unquote, and I was pitching.
Yeah.
And I couldn't throw a strike for the life of me.
Right.
And then I got it over the plate, and he jacked it so far it's still probably in the air. Somebody came to me afterwards. They were like, do you want the baseball? And they gave it to me, and it was just beat up.
They're like, destroyed it. Still going, and we can't find it.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes, BJ Novak, Will Champion from Coldplay, M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family, Fatboy Slim, and Mark Cuban. And that's what's happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Demetrius Johnson back in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. UFC Flyweight Champion. Demetrius, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back on.
I'd just like to say, all the times you've come in here, many, many times, you've been very generous with your time on the Kevin DeBean Show. You've never lost after an appearance on our program. I mean, I'm not trying to take all the credit.
It might be because he trains hard and he's a great fighter, though.
I'm just saying.
Bean.
I like where your head's at.
Do you want to take that risk, though? Or do you want to keep on coming in and keep on winning and staying the champ?
I mean, I do both. Keep on training hard and keep coming in here and get that good luck, that K-Rock love.
So how you been?
I'm good, man. Just doing the rounds. This is the first media obligation this morning. I'm happy to be here. And it was funny. We're in the green room, the avocado room. And he was like, dude, you've been coming here for this year, like 10th appearance. I was like, no, it can't be my 10th appearance. And they're like, yeah, you've been on the show 10 times. I'm like, are you serious?
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. Have I been on? I said, I'm going to cut your stuff in half. I think it's 5. I've been on here 5 times.
Well, we're always happy to see you. Of course, you got a big weekend, Saturday, August 4th, this weekend at Staples Center. We're talking about UFC 227. Now, am I high or remembering this wrong? When this card was announced, you weren't on it, right?
Yeah, I wasn't on it. Wasn't on the card. I just got done having shoulder surgery January, and so I was getting ready, coming off of physical therapy, and I was waiting for my management to find me a spot on the card. It was either going to be July or August, and so literally it was just them trying to find me a spot, and I ended up landing on this card and happy to be here in L.A. and finding a Staples Center, and ticket sales are fantastic and ready to go out there.
How long did it take the shoulder to rehab?
Well, I got surgery in January, and I was rehabbing. I got out of the surgery, and then they sent me back to my hotel room, and they sent in a machine, and like, sit in this machine and start rehabbing. So the rehab was pretty fast.
A couple days.
No. I wish it was a couple days. But it took about, I would say, good 8 weeks. Eight, nine weeks. Yeah.
I mean, that must have been hell for you.
It wasn't.
Just because you can't train hard.
So,
what you love to do.
I love to do it, but at the same time, like as an athlete, the only thing that's going to stop me from training is an injury.
Right.
And let me be able to rest and recover, get my body a chance to actually heal everything, right? Because if you pop your MCL and it's like, oh, well, I popped my MCL, but I can still, go to the gym and do, biceps and all that stuff. To whereas this, when this popped, I was like, I couldn't move fast. I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything because if I would make a sudden movement, then it would be like, ooh, I feel that in my labrum, so I'm going to stop and let it heal.
Oh, and that's where your labrum is.
Yeah, your labrum. So you have labrums in your hip and also on your shoulders.
Allie didn't know that boys had labrum.
Right?
She was thinking of something else. Yeah. Oh. She's a little bit confused there.
Look at his face. He's like, you're weird.
I know where that is. Okay. I know where you're going with that.
It's early in the morning.
Yep.
I speak Allie.
Demetrius, it must be terrifying, though, as a professional athlete who makes his living in the octagon, to have any kind of an injury and wonder, oh, is this the beginning of the end?
Yeah, man.
Why would you say that?
Because I'm just saying that's a terrifying thought you have for any athlete.
Yeah, well, let's make him think about it again.
Well, I mean,
he's fine now.
Yeah, it's part of the sport. Obviously, after this surgery, I've had multiple surgeries in my career in mixed martial arts. I fought with a broken leg, broken rib, broken hand.
Let's talk about that for a second. You guys fight with broken hands, broken whatever, and it doesn't seem to even slow you down. Is it just the adrenaline that's...
It's the adrenaline, it's the conditioning, it's the training to be able to get through it.
If you break your hand and then you still throw a punch, that seems like that hurts every time.
Yeah, it hurts. No, you're wrong, it hurts. When I broke my leg, I was sitting and I was like, ooh, this hurts. And I remember coming back to the corner and I sat down. I was like, dude, my right leg is shot. Like, it's gone. And I was like, I'm still going to do my job because we got to get paid. I mean,
Kevin, you're still going to do your job.
That's insanity.
Yeah. I was like, we're getting $6,000, $12,000. We're going to fight like it's $100,000. So, but you just go through it, you know? Like, only have to fight twice a year. And every single time I go out there and fight, I just ask my buddy, I was like, give me 25 minutes of absolutely focus. You're a contract killer. You need to get the mission done. You need to take this man out.
Have you ever been completely healthy in a fight?
Oh, yeah.
You have.
You go into a fight completely healthy, you know, but when you come out of it, you know, you hit somebody on the top of the head right under the dome. These are little bones. That is
on your wrist, yeah.
That's one big skull. It's a big bone. Typically, the smaller bone breaks on the bigger bone.
Right.
And you break your hand in the fight, and next thing you know, it's like, great, fighting with a broken hand. It's fantastic. Let's see how this goes.
I hope I don't word this weird for you, but I feel like, do you know who Mike Trout is from the Angels?
Do not.
He's arguably the best player in Major League Baseball.
Superstar.
But he's on the Angels, and they never seem to win anything anymore. Mm-hmm. So he just isn't marketed the same way. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're the same. You win constantly, and you're just added to this card after it's already there. How do we market you better? How do I get the UFC to do that?
I don't know. You got to talk to the, you know, I think the PR does a fantastic job. I think it's hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it because of your weight class, Demetrius?
Historically,
we think of heavier weight classes.
Well, let's take a step back. So when we look at marketing, right? When it looks at marketing, you look at what gets a lot of clicks, what gets a lot of views, mm-hmm. and it usually nowadays is controversy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Controversy,
right.
Drama,
right?
And so I'm not a drama type of person.
You're just a good guy.
I'm just a good guy. You know, I'm a family man. I'm a gamer. I'm a nerd. Uh-huh. As some people would say.
Sure.
But, you know, I last night I was like, all right, I got done working out. I had my dinner. And I was like, I'm going to go play some World of Warcraft. And I was like, I'm going to do PvP. I'm going to do one PvP. And my buddy goes, hey, man, you want to run a dungeon? I'm like, all right, let's go do it. Let's go run a dungeon.
So is that your treat then is doing that, playing games?
I love playing video games. So my downtime, I really play video games and, you know, surf the web. Uh-huh. Or,
hey, Demetrius has told us in the past that that's his plan post UFC is to be a professional gamer.
Whoa,
right?
whoa, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Professional gamers, those guys are actually good.
You're good though, aren't you?
Well, I mean, not on that level. I mean, those guys put like 3,000 plus hours in a game. They just play one specific game. I enjoy, you know, video games. You know, for me to put 3,000 hours in one game, I'm sure I've done it, but I don't think I've done that before. That's a little absurd.
Can you imagine, though, if your job were playing Fortnite, though? Could you imagine?
I mean, they get pretty good if you win.
Sure.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be complaining about that. But
maybe we cut a fake video of you just screaming at me about asking that question. Then that goes viral. All of a sudden, you're kind of a bad boy.
No, they're like, why is DJ yelling at this woman? She seems like a nice. She's not like a nice woman. DJ just jump off the deep end. He's really trying to get views. I mean, if it's that person's personality, then it works. It fits.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of people out there.
You can't fake it.
You can't fake it. You know. So I'm not going to try to act like I'm somebody that I'm not.
No, but you do win and continue winning, and then
every
win some more.
Every single time.
And then win a lot.
And you should
and
be the biggest
winning.
Star of this sport, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel, at the end of the day, how do you define a star? On how much money he makes, or what defines a person as a star, right? Like, in my own right, I think I'm a star. You know, I can go out, you know, to the mall, and people are going to stop me, ask for pictures, and
So I'm happy where I'm at. You know, obviously we always want more. Right?
Sure.
We always want more. Sure, trust me, I want the multi-million-dollar sponsorships and all that stuff.
I
at
want
what cost?
That for you.
Yeah, at what cost?
You need to beat. You need to beat up a bus, man. That's how you make it these days. Start hitting the bus.
I didn't say that. You did.
All right.
You went there. I did it.
I don't want to run out of time with our friend Demetrius Johnson here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Again, talking about UFC 227, which is going to be a co-headlining card, by the way. Two great, great fights. Ticketmaster.com to buy your tickets for this Saturday at Staples Center. Has there been any pressure on you to be a multiple weight champion?
No, I mean, a lot of people
like
ask,
Daniel.
A lot of people ask me to do it, but at the end of the day, I'm focused on defending my belt at 125. And then if things work out the way I like it and make me feel good about what I'm about to step into, then absolutely it's going to happen. But at the same time, I'm focused on being the champ. You know, now that DC's, you know, the double champ, now he's. Everybody's saying, you got to defend one of the belts, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like I see more negativity from him being a double champ than the positivity. Because everybody was like,
that's crazy.
Well, you think, what belt are you going to defend now? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, dude, he just won it.
Right. Let him relax.
You know,
it.
Like, literally, I had a daydream that I won the belt, like both belts. I was like, yeah. You guys can have that one to take by 125.
That's the one that matters to you.
That's the first thing that happened. Right when you win something, I'm like, so what are you going to do now?
It's of
like,
course, yeah.
Can I go home and just, like, look at both of them at least? So, for me, I'm not really focused on that. I'm focused on Henry Cejudo Saturday.
Okay, that's my last question for you then, is we know how much better you are since the last time you fought Henry.
Yeah.
How much better is he?
I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, I love how he... In a whole entire thing, he goes, you know, I'm Henry Cejudo. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance that I get. And
Again.
And I want to see how good you really are. It's been 2 years I've been training. What the hell you think I've been doing for 2 years? I can tell what I've been doing for 2 years. Playing video games, training, and take care of children. So, but I'm excited, man. Henry Cejudo is a great guy. I have nothing against him. Phenomenal, you know, role model in the sport of mixed martial arts, a great ambassador. So I'm excited to get in there and fight him again and see how much he's improved.
Well, we're excited to see it. Saturday night, August 4th, Staples Center. Why not see it in person since it's right here in Southern California? So get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Or, of course, if you don't, get it on the pay-per-view. And as I mentioned, it's a great double matchup because it's also Corey Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw at the same time. So it's a great card. Mighty Mouse, we love you so much. Thank you so much for coming in. We'll do it again soon, all right?
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. We have some tickets for Kevin DeBean Built This Pool Singles Party right now for guys 21 and over. 1-800-520-1067.
Yes. Sorry, Mighty Mouse's face.
I was like,
I'm sorry?
No, not for you. This is...
Why only dudes? Where are the chicks at?
they were a couple hours earlier.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, we did. You were wondering about this party, weren't you? We talked to the ladies earlier. We're going to give the men the same opportunity to call us at 1-800-520-1067 and share with us the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you on a date. Some of the stories earlier, Allie, from your ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not make suggestions if you
don't
mind.
Let's not make suggestions.
We don't need any more shart phone calls, dudes.
Right, correct. You were on a date and something very embarrassing happened and you're going to confess it to us. Somebody's going to win tickets to join us this weekend in Las Vegas at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Call now. Gentlemen only, 21 and up. You can go this weekend, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. I want to see some naked dudes.
Remember when Blake brought that in? I didn't even think it was real. It wasn't going to be on the album, for
no
sure.
No way, right?
And it turned out to be your favorite song on the album. We didn't technically build the pool this time around, by the way. The Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino did. It's at the Scene on the rooftop of the hotel. We are going to be there this weekend with you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, for the Built This Pool Singles Party, courtesy of the Happy Time Murders, by the way, which is the most outrageous R-rated comedy of the summer, it says here, hitting theaters on August the 24th. I know Allie's already bought her tickets in advance.
I've had it in my iCal for 3 months.
Yeah, it's going to be real good. So we're talking about a transportation and two-night hotel stay. This time around, we're looking for guys only. We did ladies earlier, 1-800-520-1067, and we're looking for your most embarrassing date experiences. Tony is up first, Santa Ana, to get us going. Hey, Tony.
What's up? What's up?
So you're on a date and something goes wrong. What happened?
Well, I was on a date and I was looking forward to it for a long time and finally got plans to go out. And then I went to this bar and we both were pretty hammered. And then long story short, went in for the kill at the end of the night, you know, tongue down and everything. And I couldn't help it. I just threw up.
You were kissing and you threw up?
Yeah.
That's in her mouth.
That's Tony.
Tony, how do you recover from that?
There is no recovery, and it was bad, and
Was that the last date with her?
Needless to say, I didn't see her again.
After I assume so. All right, thank you. I mean, we did ask for embarrassing, right?
Oh, right. Man.
All right, let's try Simba, line 4. Simba is his real name from Elisa Viejo. Hey, Simba.
What's up, Kevin, Bean, Ellie, what's going on?
Hey.
Well, good morning to you. What happened on your date?
So, it's my second date with this girl. Things are going pretty well. So, she invites me up to her apartment. I'm dropping off. She invites me up to her apartment. You know, we start doing what grown-ups do, and things are getting hot and heavy, and the sushi that we ate before decided to say, hell no. So I quickly excused myself, and I just went to the bathroom, and I thought I could squeeze it out real quick, but I proceeded to Jack Black her bathroom.
Oh no! Jack Black is now a verb, by the way, thanks to his visit to the Kevin DeBeach last year.
Jack Black came here, went to the bathroom, stuck his head in, and said, you're going to need to call a plumber. And he wasn't being funny. We called a plumber.
Yeah. So what do you do in that situation?
You run
the bathroom. You're on a date. What do you do?
I'm standing in the bathroom, completely embarrassed. Water is just coming out. It's doo-doo water coming out of the...
I mean, we understand.
Simba needs to explain it.
What's going on?
I just want to kind of color the situation for you.
Right, we get it. But what we're asking is, after that happened, were you able to continue the date or not?
Yes, yeah, so she was super cool about it. We laughed. We ran to, like, CVS or something, grabbed a plunger, and it became a pretty cool experience. And, all I can say is, this was a success.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a winner. Am I right about that? Simba, if it's okay with you guys, I think we're going to be Simba at the party. All right. Congratulations, my friend. We will see you this week, and we're looking forward to meeting you, but not shaking your hand. Thanks for calling.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 10.
Where's Muggs? Is he going to come in and do his thing?
I don't have the answer to that.
Like it was time. All right, well, maybe we'll catch it at the end right after Allie does What's Happening Here on K-Rock.
Just a reminder, National Avocado Day. I need everyone to celebrate responsibly.
Okay.
We can't have avocado hands sending tons of people to the ER again. Just be careful. Wear a big glove.
Right.
Have someone not white cut your avocado for you.
It's a white person problem?
Seems to be a white person problem.
Did you see I can't put my finger on it right now, but did you see the tweet from the listener who injured herself with cutting an avocado just last night?
No.
And she tuned in today, and she knew we were going to be mocking people because
of
Avocado
Day. You see that? You see how white people do?
Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's on Twitter at Make It Awesome. Sliced my finger cutting an avocado last night, so listening to Kevin and Bean this morning was a real treat. Hashtag avocado hand. Be careful, white people. Seriously.
It really is a thing. When I said there was an uptick in ER visits because of how popular avocados had become... With what I thought.
Yeah, I thought you were just making stuff up.
No, more of as kind of a millennial type of food, avocado toast, that type of thing. I thought, well, okay, maybe it does make sense because they're younger. They're probably not cooking as much. They're not using knives as much. So
Right. You
cut yourself more when you're first learning how to use a knife, right?
Sure.
So it all kind of made sense. And then when we found that study in New Zealand, I was like, my God, it's a worldwide phenomena. It's a problem, you guys.
It
I'm just saying, celebrate responsibly. We need you here, alive, with all your digits.
Sure.
All right. If you are just waking up and you heard news that Alex Trebek might be gone soon, not dead. He just is saying that there's a 50-50% chance, and a little less, that he'll stay on board when his contract expires in 2 years. He has been the host of Jeopardy, you guys, since 1984.
Wow.
That's incredible, right?
He's sure good at it.
He's real good at it. It's just, it's like second nature. You don't even think of him as hosting anything. It's just he's there.
Hey, Ari, do you think he's really smart, or do you think we could all be smug a-holes if we had the answers given to us?
I think a little bit of both, but he's got the answers in front of him. He's not writing those questions.
No, right, of course not. Of course not. But he always acts like the contestants are big dummies because they don't know it and he does.
But it's because they've given him the answers. I just wondered if you think he's actually, like, if Alex Trebek played Jeopardy, how would he do as a contestant?
I wonder if he ever has, like in any special or something. I don't think I've ever heard of that. But
yeah.
How about he plays Jeopardy against other trivia hosts? Like your guy, Rudinsky guy.
Oh, Scott Rogowski?
Him.
Yeah.
I prefer to call him Rudinsky. But you get all the trivia guys together to play a trivia game.
I don't
and
hate
we're
that.
Like, suck it. Let's see if any of you are actually good at this.
I don't hate it. That sounds good. That would be a different kind of tournament of champions.
Listen, that was my idea. If I see this on Netflix, on Game Show Network, anywhere.
Right.
Mine.
That would be a very highly sought after hosting job, being the host of Jeopardy. Somebody who stands to make a lot of money and have a long, long career if they're good at it.
Absolutely. Harvey Levin asked him, do you think of anyone that could be a replacement? And this is what Alex Trebek said. I mentioned to our producer not so long ago that the fellow that does play-by-play for the LA Kings, they should consider him, referring to Alex Faust that took over for Bob Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I bet the Kings are like, lay off!
Hey, we just hired him.
We just hired him. We see a long future with Alex. He also said there is an attorney, Laura Coates. She's African-American, and she appears on some of the cable news shows from time to time.
Again, though, if you have all of the answers in front of you, how hard can it be?
Well, you have to be able to...
Wraith talk. Here we go, talking that safe talk. My swag, different. My bag, different. My wife, Beyonce, I brag, different. Special cloth talk, major key.
I mean, can King's guy do that?
Does he have the major keys? Anyone can. That is pure magic. Pure magic. Plus, who else, when you get to know the contestants after the first round and then you chit-chat with them, who else is going to completely dismiss people in the smug way that Alex can?
He's
so
smug.
You literally think, oh, my soul just died watching this. Oh, I love it so much. They're in
repeats
right now.
What would we do, baby, without us?
It's a good question, Alex. Mm-hmm.
Great question. They're in repeats right now, and I'm bummed.
Because you've seen them all?
All of them.
Really?
All of them. I love Jeopardy so much. I used to watch it with my grandfather. That was like our bonding time. And then we'd shout out the answer. And then he'd be so mad if I shouted it out, but I didn't ask it or answer it in the form of a question.
Yeah.
So then he'd deduct money I didn't even have. It's insane.
That's a woman for you.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I feel like your whole family's a little nuts.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Hey, Dan Reynolds, Imagine Dragons. We love him. He announced that his Love Loud Festival over the weekend was a rousing success. The event was held in Salt Lake City. It's the second year in a row, and it reached its goal of raising $1 million for LGBTQ and organizations like the Trevor Project. So, way to go. The lineup this year, Imagine Dragons, Zedd, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda, Neon Trees, Tyler Glenn. I just realized whoever wrote this put Mark Shinoda.
Great.
Wow.
He's good, too, though.
He's really good.
Let's not discount Mark.
Let's not. And then he had speakers as well. Apple CEO Tim Cook.
Wow.
Julianne Hough. Tegan of Tegan and Sarah. I mean, come on. It's becoming quite the thing.
Fighting the Mormon Church doesn't seem easy, however.
It doesn't seem easy. No. And if you haven't seen his documentary, Believer, which premiered on HBO in June, it's well worth taking a look at this because up until, a couple weeks before, tickets were not selling to their event last year, and he was nervous. And then the Mormon Church came out and made an announcement about the show and how they
said it was okay.
It was okay. They're working on inclusivity, that type of thing. Sold out in a second. So,
and then the Mormon Church changed and said, that whole thing about inclusive? No, that's...
We're still not ready.
That's not us.
We're still not ready so much. And if you're just waking up wondering why Alan Alda is trending on Twitter, he has revealed that he has Parkinson's disease. The award-winning actor said he was diagnosed with the disease 3.5 years ago, but says, I've had a full life since then. I've acted. I've given talks. I help at the Alda Center for Communicating Science in Stony Brook. At Stony Brook, I started this new podcast. He started a podcast.
Right.
I want to hear the Alan Alda podcast.
I assume you can.
He's doing interviews, right? Celebrity interviews.
Sure.
But you talk about it as if it's not available. I assume if he's doing a
Yeah.
Podcast it.
I'm just saying, you started a new podcast with Alan Alda. Everyone has a podcast.
Right.
And I like it.
Okay.
He's keeping busy.
Right.
He's not letting a disease slow him down. That's what I'm saying, mm-hmm. Kevin.
Right, I hear you.
Some birthdays for you before we get to Muggs, who's falling asleep over there. J.K. Rowling, Dean Cain, B.J. Novak, Rico Rodriguez, Mark Cuban, M. Shadows, Will Champion, and Fat Boy Slim. And that's what's happening.
Hey, Beer Mug.
Good morning, you guys. Are you going to come out to the Hot Topic stop number 7 today?
You know it.
Every minute of it.
Where are you going to be?
That sounded enthusiastic, Bean. We're going to be at 9301 Tampa Avenue in Northridge, California, the Northridge Fashion Center Hot Topic. We have more System of a Down tickets, more Rise Against tickets, more Demon Days tickets, more CDs, more T-shirts, and, of course, the brand new K-Rock summer sticker, or the new Gorilla sticker, which is, it's during summer. So, yeah, it is the summer sticker.
What's happening?
Who woke up Muggs and why?
Right?
The limited edition K-Rock Gorilla sticker is available at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. But as Muggs mentions, he'll be at the Hot Topic at the Northridge Fashion Center today from 1 till 3 with additional prizes. While you're there, get your sticker, look on the back, get all the details on how to win the intimate show with the band for you and your friends. Also, a 2019 Honda Fit, that's a new car, don't you know, and a $500 Hot Topic gift card. You still having people like lick the sweat off your brow and things like that for prizes?
Oh my God.
You know, it's been a little cooler. It's cooling off in the valley, so not so much
sweat.
Doesn't
stop you from sweating.
Not so much sweat, but I'm bribing people. I'm bribing people with food now. So if, you know, you have something tasty, bring it by, because I'm hungry during those
things. You're not bribing them with food. They're bribing you.
They're bribing me. Yeah. I don't know how bribery works.
Who woke up Muggs and why?
That's a great question. All right. Thank you, Muggs.
The SoCal Helpful Honda deal tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got Susan Michael. She's going to stop by. She's going to talk about
Chat-Con.
She's going to make make stupid puns like it's perfect.
And, love how much it annoys you.
Just the worst.
Love
and
it.
We also have tickets for the singles party and whatnot. So
if you have a cat, call us and you can go to the singles party.
Nope.